Tryptophan is an anti-cancer agent, and it also activates the important detoxification pathway NRF2, which dramatically increases glutathione production. Animal studies have repeatedly shown that sulforaphane directly negates inflammation in the brain even when challenged with highly inflammatory toxins. For this reason, sulforaphane has been studied as a potential therapeutic and preventative agent in Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, traumatic brain injury, schizophrenia, and even depression, all conditions demonstrated to involve excessive oxidation and inflammation in the brain. One fascinating trial in young people even found that sulforaphane, extracted from broccoli sprouts, significantly improved symptoms of moderate to severe autism. The reduction in symptoms abated after treatment ended. Cruciferous vegetables and your thyroid. Raw cruciferous vegetables like broccoli, cauliflower, kale, bok choy, and cabbage have caught a bad rap, mostly because of compounds within them that are believed to disrupt thyroid function. The compounds in question are the glucosinolates, which are the ones that, when chewed raw, create beneficial sulforaphane. The issue is that glucosinolates temporarily inhibit uptake of iodine into the thyroid, which is not good because iodine is a required element for thyroid hormone production. In the 50s, when iodine deficiency was widespread, eating otherwise healthy cruciferous vegetables led many to hypothyroidism, and the government thus mandated that all table salt be iodized. Problem solved, right? At the time, yes. Today, however, health-conscious eaters are moving away from iodized salt to non-iodized alternatives like sea salt, and ironically, we are again at risk for iodine deficiency. To combat this, it is important to consume sea vegetables, dried nori or kelp noodles are top sources, and other foods rich in iodine such as scallops, salmon, eggs, and turkey. 3 ounces of shrimp or baked turkey breast each provide 34 micrograms of essential iodine. That's about 23% of the recommended daily intake, or RDI. 1/4 ounce of seaweed, for comparison, provides 4,500 micrograms of iodine, 3,000% of the RDI. In the absence of an iodine deficiency, cruciferous vegetables are perfectly safe to eat raw. The key to remember here is that many of these compounds adhere to a common biological theme. Just because you need some doesn't make more better. Consume a liberal amount of raw crucifers, just don't go overboard. So, there you have it. The confidence to know that the right kinds of stress can actually be your friend. These positive stressors provide a key to becoming more robust in brain and body. Remember that in all cases, you should listen to your body and know that these stresses are not without risk. But if you start slow, coaxing your body to greater resilience, you'll get to know the magnitude of your own magnificence in no time. Field notes. Aerobic forms of exercise should be low and slow to promote neurogenesis while avoiding the cortisol spike of chronic cardio. Anaerobic forms of exercise should be hard and fast to promote metabolic adaptation in your muscles and brain. Both forms of exercise are critical. Sauna use can be an incredible adjunct to exercise or as a standalone brain booster. Fasting helps the body regain its anabolic-catabolic balance, turning on repair genes, burning up stored fuels, and reducing oxidative stress. Eat your veggies and low-sugar fruits. They're rich in polyphenols and other compounds that cause your cells to detoxify in powerful ways. Genius food number 10, almonds. Aside from being a convenient snack, almonds are a potent brain food for 3 reasons. First, the skins of almonds have been shown to provide a prebiotic effect, which, as you may recall, is important for nurturing the mass of bacteria in your large intestine. Researchers fed people almond skins or whole almonds and saw that they both increased populations of beneficial species while reducing pathogenic ones. Second, almonds are a rich source of polyphenols, plant defense compounds that provide an antioxidant effect to both you and your gut bacteria. Last, almonds are a powerful source of fat-soluble antioxidant vitamin E. Vitamin E protects synaptic membranes from oxidation, thus supporting neuroplasticity. Scientists have noted a link between decreasing serum levels of vitamin E and poorer memory performance in older individuals. A 2013 trial published in the Journal of the American Medical Association even found that high doses of vitamin E led to significantly slower decline in patients with Alzheimer's disease, worth up to 6 months of bought time. Almonds do contain substantial amounts of polyunsaturated fat, which, as you recall, is a fat that is easily oxidized. This is why I prefer to consume almonds and all nuts raw. However, for those who prefer roasted nuts, it may provide comfort to know that the fat in almonds remains relatively protected through the roasting process, a sign that the nuts also contain a high amount of antioxidants. Just be sure to go for dry roasted nuts, as roasted almost always means that they've actually been deep fried in poor quality vegetable oil. How to use. Eat raw as a snack, combine with some dark chocolate and berries for a nice trail mix, or throw in a salad. Just be mindful that because of their fat content, nuts contain a lot of calories, which can add up fast. Try to stick to a handful or two a day, tops. Pro tip. All nuts are healthy. While almonds are a great go-to choice, macadamias, Brazil nuts, and pistachios are equally excellent options. Pistachios contain more lutein and zeaxanthin, two carotenoids that can boost brain speed, than any other nut. They also contain resveratrol, a powerful antioxidant that has been shown to protect and enhance memory function. Chapter 11, The Genius Plan. In this chapter, we're going to put all the pieces from previous chapters together to present the Genius Plan, which will break down the essentials of eating for ultimate cognition nutrition. We'll also discuss various tweaks that you can make to tailor the Genius Plan to your own unique biology and specific cognitive and body goals. The crux of eating for an optimally performing brain is consuming a diet that is high in nutrient-dense foods such as eggs, avocados, dark leafy greens, and nuts, and devoid of the foods that cause hormonal dysregulation, oxidative stress, and inflammation, such as processed oils and grain products. Here are some of the things that will immediately begin to happen as you bid adieu to dense, processed carbohydrates and processed oils. You'll lose weight. Because you will be stimulating insulin to a far lesser degree, it will give your metabolism the chance to liquidate your stored fat and use it for fuel. Recall that insulin is an anabolic or growth hormone that acts like a one-way valve to your body's fat cells, and lowered insulin levels are a prerequisite to fat burning. Energy and stamina will increase. Those on high carbohydrate diets often experience a mental boost when consuming sugar. Does that mean sugar is a performance-boosting agent? No, it is merely treating the symptoms of withdrawal. Stepping out of the cycle of carbohydrate addiction is thus the best way to achieve sustained high performance. You will be minimizing your risk for prediabetes and metabolic syndrome and ultimately type 2 diabetes. The reduced demand on your pancreas will help promote optimal sensitivity to insulin. If you are already pre-diabetic or have type 2 diabetes, reducing carbohydrates can help reverse insulin resistance. Insulin resistance has been associated with greater plaque buildup in the brain and worse cognitive function when compared to metabolically healthy controls. Studies that have pitted the typically prescribed anti-diabetes diet, which includes pasta and low-fat tortillas, against a diet devoid of grains, which focuses instead on vegetables and healthy fats, have shown that the grain-free diets improve health outcomes to a greater degree. You will create fewer advanced glycation end products. AGEs are gerontotoxins that accelerate aging. If the prospect of protecting your eyes, kidneys, brain, liver, and heart doesn't sell you on this point, perhaps the reduction in skin wrinkling and sagging will. You will reduce inflammation throughout your body and as a result may diminish symptoms of conditions caused by inflammation. Inflammation is a common denominator in many neurodegenerative disorders, including Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and ALS. It is a major driver of aging, working at the genetic level to make you look, feel, and actually be older than you are. You will feel happier and more social. Inflammation creates sickness behaviors designed to prevent further damage, promote healing, and remove you from social settings. This may manifest as reduced cognitive performance, depression, lethargy, inability to focus, and anxiety. Hunger will be a thing of the past. Although some people adapted to high-carbohydrate diets might experience headaches at first, they will soon pass. When all you do is feed your brain glucose, it screams, "Feed me," when it runs out. On the other hand, your body has a virtually unlimited ability to store fat. Let it be burned. You will have more room for vegetables on your plate. Consumption of vegetables and the nutrients they contain is directly associated with brains that work faster and have less risk for developing dementia. Clear out your kitchen. Cue the opening chords of Eye of the Tiger. Prefer the final countdown? That works too. You're about to take an inventory of your kitchen and clear out the foods that are no longer serving you. Grab a garbage bag and get ready to load it up. This will be fun. Start by removing the following. All forms of refined, processed carbohydrates. This includes products made with corn and corn syrup, potato flour, and rice flour. These often take the form of chips, crackers, cookies, cereals, oatmeal, pastries, muffins, pizza dough, donuts, granola bars, cakes, sugary snacks, candy, energy bars, ice cream and frozen yogurt, jams, jellies, preserves, gravies, ketchup, honey mustard, commercial salad dressings, pancake flours and mixes, processed cheese spreads, juices, dried fruit, sports drinks, soft drinks and soda, fried foods, and frozen packaged foods. All sources of wheat and gluten. Bread, pasta, rolls, cereals, baked goods, noodles, soy sauce, and anything with wheat flour, enriched wheat flour, whole wheat flour, or multigrain flour in its ingredients list. Most oatmeal contains gluten unless it explicitly says gluten-free on the label. Sources of industrial-grade emulsifiers. Anything with polysorbate 80 or carboxymethyl cellulose in the ingredients list. Common offenders include ice cream, coffee creamers, nut milks, and salad dressings. Industrial and processed meats and cheeses. Grain-fed red meat, feedlot chicken, processed cheeses. All concentrated sweeteners, honey, maple syrup, corn syrup, agave syrup or nectar, simple syrup or sugar, both brown and white. Don't worry, I'll offer some safe non-caloric sweetener options momentarily. Commercial cooking oils. Margarines, buttery spreads, cooking sprays, and oils like canola, soybean, sometimes labeled vegetable oil, cottonseed, safflower, grapeseed, rice bran, wheat germ, and corn. Even if they're organic, toss them. Remember that these oils are often included in various sauces, mayonnaise, and salad dressings and serve no purpose to you other than to supply you with damaged, oxidative omega-6 and omega-3 fats. Get your omegas from whole food sources instead. Non-organic, non-fermented soy products. Tofu. Synthetic sweeteners. Aspartame, saccharin, sucralose, acesulfame K, also known as acesulfame potassium. Beverages. Fruit juice, sodas, diet and regular, commercial fruit smoothies. Always foods. Stock up. These are the foods that can be consumed liberally through all phases of the plan. Calorie counting is usually unnecessary. However, if your goals include losing weight, consume fewer concentrated fats, oils, butter, and so forth. If you're looking to maintain or gain weight, more fats may be included. Keep in mind, with the exception of extra virgin olive oil, we're not necessarily in favor of a high added fat diet, as pure oils are not very nutrient dense. Oils and fats. Extra virgin olive oil, grass-fed tallow, and organic or grass-fed butter and ghee, avocado oil, coconut oil. Protein. Grass-fed beef, free-range poultry, pasture-raised pork, lamb, bison, and elk. Whole eggs. Revisit the healthy egg matrix in Genius Food No. 5. Wild salmon, sardines, anchovies, shellfish, and mollusks. Shrimp, crab, lobster, mussels, clams, oysters. low-sugar beef or salmon jerky. Nuts and seeds. Almonds and almond butter, Brazil nuts, cashews, macadamias, pistachios, pecans, walnuts, flax seeds, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds, chia seeds. Vegetables. Mixed greens, kale, spinach, collard greens, mustard greens, broccoli, chard, cabbage, onions, mushrooms, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, sauerkraut, kimchi, pickles, artichokes, alfalfa sprouts, green beans, celery, bok choy, watercress, turnips, asparagus, garlic, leeks, fennel, shallots, scallions, ginger, jicama, parsley, water chestnuts, nori, kelp, dulse seaweed. Non-starchy root vegetables. Beets, carrots, radishes, turnips, parsnips. Low-sugar fruits. Avocados, coconut, olives, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, grapefruits, kiwis, bell peppers, cucumbers, tomatoes, zucchini, squash, pumpkin, eggplant, lemons, limes, cacao nibs, okra. Herbs, seasonings, and condiments. Parsley, rosemary, thyme, cilantro, sage, turmeric, cinnamon, cumin, allspice, cardamom, ginger, cayenne, coriander, oregano, fenugreek, paprika, salt, black pepper, vinegar, apple cider, white and balsamic, mustard, horseradish, tapenade, salsa, nutritional yeast. Fermented organic soy. Natto, miso, tempeh. Organic gluten-free tamari sauce. Dark chocolate. At least 80% cocoa content, ideally 85% or higher. Beverages. Filtered water, coffee, tea, unsweetened almond milk, unsweetened flax milk, unsweetened coconut milk, unsweetened cashew milk. Sometimes foods. Eat in moderation. These foods should be included in moderation, consumed later in the day and only after the initial 2-week ultra-low-carb break-in. Moderation means at most a few, 3 to 4 servings a week. Again, choose organic if possible. Starchy root vegetables. White potatoes. Sweet potatoes. Non-gluten-containing unprocessed grains. Buckwheat. Rice. Brown, white, or wild. Millet. Quinoa. Sorghum. Teff. Gluten-free oatmeal, non-GMO corn or popcorn. Oats do not naturally contain gluten, but are frequently contaminated with gluten as they are processed in facilities that also handle wheat. Therefore, look for oats that explicitly indicate on the package that they are gluten-free. Dairy. Grass-fed, full-fat, and antibiotic and hormone-free yogurt, heavy cream, and hard cheeses are acceptable. Whole sweet fruit. While low-sugar fruits are always the best choice, apples, apricots, mangoes, melons, pineapple, pomegranates, and bananas provide various nutrients and different types of fiber. Be extra cautious with dried fruit, which has the water removed and sugar concentrated, making it easy to overdo it. These are all best consumed after a workout. Legumes. Beans, lentils, peas, chickpeas, hummus, peanuts. Sweeteners. Stevia, non-GMO sugar alcohols. Erythritol is best to use, followed by xylitol, which is naturally harvested from birch trees. Monk fruit, Luo Han Guo. It is essential that any corn and soy products, if consumed at all, are organic and non-GMO, as these two commodities tend to be the most manipulated to withstand the heavy use of pesticides and herbicides. Remember that once the brain has become fat-adapted, a higher-carb meal here and there, particularly when timed around exercise, will not throw you off. At that point, consumption of these foods can be increased, but the upper limit should always be around 150 grams of net carbohydrates, total carbohydrate content minus grams of fiber, per day. Frequently asked question. I'm extremely active. Doesn't that mean I can eat more carbs? Answer. Yes, engaging in vigorous exercise allows you more leeway, consult the custom carb pyramid on the PDF enhancement for exact numbers. Most people are not very active, however, and even those who think they are aren't compared to our ancestors. Meal planning. Breakfast. There is no biological need to eat first thing in the morning. Breakfast in its most common forms only helps you to store fat. The best breakfast will often be a glass of water, black coffee, or unsweetened tea. If you choose to eat breakfast, ensure that it is primarily protein, fat, and fiber. For example, my cheesy scrambled eggs recipe on the PDF enhancement. Lunch. Here are some great lunch options. A big salad with grilled chicken, like my huge daily fatty salad rule, which I'll discuss momentarily. A roasted vegetable bowl with pastured pork belly, wild salmon, or grass-fed beef. Or a whole avocado plus a can of wild sardines. Dinner. Load up on veggies and properly raised sources of protein. Eat to your heart's content, and don't forget to use extra virgin olive oil liberally as a sauce. You can use a full tablespoon or two per person. Here are a few great dinner examples. Roasted Brussels sprouts with extra virgin olive oil and grass-fed picadillo. Sautéed greens with extra virgin olive oil and salt and pepper seasoned wild salmon. Huge, cheesy kale salad with insanely crispy, gluten-free buffalo chicken wings. Snacks. Blueberries. Jicama sticks, dark chocolate, half an avocado with sea salt, nuts and seeds, low-sugar beef or salmon jerky, celery with raw almond butter, a can of wild sardines and extra virgin olive oil, personal favorite, pastured pork rinds sprinkled generously with nutritional yeast, also great. An example genius week. See the PDF enhancement for many of the recipes that I will soon detail. Monday, morning. Water, black coffee, or tea. First meal, 2 or 3 eggs, half avocado. Snacks, half avocado sprinkled with sea salt and drizzled with extra virgin olive oil. Dinner, wild salmon fillet, large fatty salad. Tuesday, morning. Water, black coffee, or tea. First meal, better brain bowl. Snack, handful of raw nuts, blueberries, a few squares of dark chocolate. Dinner, grass-fed beef burger, hummus, sautéed greens. Wednesday, morning, water, black coffee or tea, fasted workout. First meal, large fatty salad, large sweet potato. Snack, can of sardines or wild salmon. Dinner, banging liver, roasted Brussels sprouts. Thursday, morning, water, black coffee or tea. First meal, over easy eggs with kimchi and extra virgin olive oil. Snack, celery with raw almond butter and cacao nibs. Dinner, Jamaican me smarter, sautéed greens. Friday, morning, water, black coffee or tea. Fasted workout. First meal, cheesy scrambled eggs, large sweet potato, half an avocado. Snack, low sugar beef jerky, bottle of kombucha. Dinner, insanely crispy gluten-free buffalo chicken wings, sautéed greens. Saturday, morning, water, black coffee, or tea. First meal, 3 scrambled eggs with vegetables. Snack, pastured pork rinds with nutritional yeast. Dinner, huge fatty salad, can of sardines. Sunday, morning, water, black coffee, or tea. First meal, poached eggs over sautéed greens, extra virgin olive oil. Snack, whole avocado with sea salt, handful of nuts. Dinner, skip. A note on nut milks. While unsweetened nut milks are approved under the Genius Plan, make sure yours are free of the very commonly used emulsifiers polysorbate 80 and carboxymethyl cellulose. These chemicals, used to create a creamy mouthfeel in processed foods, have been shown in animal models to cause inflammation and metabolic dysfunction through the gut, thus posing a potential threat to your brain. You can revisit the deleterious effects of emulsifiers in Chapter 7. Also keep in mind that an 8-ounce cup of almond milk pales in comparison nutritionally to even a tiny handful of actual almonds, while being about 10 times more expensive. 1 gallon of almond milk contains approximately 39 cents worth of almonds. Opt for organic. Choose organic foods whenever possible. However, if cost presents an issue, simply look up the Environmental Working Group's most current Dirty Dozen and Clean 15. The EWG puts out a new list every year. Which group conventionally grown produce in terms of least, i.e. clean, and highest, i.e. dirty, pesticide content? Here's an abbreviated list of brain-optimizing foods as of this recording. Dirty, these should always be organic. Kale, collard greens, spinach, strawberries, cucumbers, bell peppers, cherry tomatoes. Clean, these don't have to be organic. Asparagus, avocados, cabbage, cauliflower, onions, eggplant. Divide and conquer your plate. In regard to the ratio of animal protein to vegetable intake, you will be consuming mostly vegetables by volume and mostly fat by calories. This is because vegetables are satiating but do not provide very many calories. Fats will make up the majority of calories consumed throughout the day, but when looking at a plate, most of the real estate will be given to colorful, fibrous vegetables. Eating mostly vegetables also helps neutralize oxidative free radicals that are generated during the cooking process, in meats for example, before they're ever absorbed into the bloodstream. Abide by the one bad day rule. Animals raised on local farms and allowed to eat their preferred diets are happier and healthier. Many local farmers take great care in treating their animals well, priding themselves on the fact that their livestock have only one bad day. This is a stark contrast to the way the vast majority of livestock are raised today, forced to live out lives of misery in cramped cages, fed diets that make them sick, and minimally exposed to the outside or even one another. While eating animals may have been an essential part of our evolution, to be humane is an essential part of being human, and conveniently, the humane choice is healthier for you and the environment. I suggest abiding by the following rule. Only consume meat where you can be sure that the animal had just, quote, one bad day. The huge daily fatty salad. One of the best strategies to cover your food bases is to eat a huge salad every single day and load it up with healthy fats and protein. Though eating salads for better health may seem pretty intuitive, by creating a rule for yourself to incorporate one large salad every single day, you're ensuring that you enrich your brain with a diverse array of plant nutrients and fiber. Plus, there is simply no better vehicle for extra virgin olive oil than a salad. Whether for lunch or dinner, every salad is a new opportunity to feed your brain and your gut microbes. Make sure that you own a very large bowl, the bigger the better, and I like glass so that I can see all of the colors I'm eating. And go to town. For the base, opt for nutrient density. Skip pale white iceberg lettuce, which is nutritionally poor and mostly water, and reach for the darker leaves instead. Spinach and kale are great options. Here are two ideas. Feel free to improvise on them. Kale, cucumber, thinly sliced jalapeno chilies, raw broccoli, sunflower seeds, avocado, grilled chicken, extra virgin olive oil, balsamic vinegar, salt, pepper, lemon. Spinach, arugula, tomatoes, bell peppers, chia seeds, avocado, grilled shrimp, extra virgin olive oil, balsamic vinegar, salt, pepper, minced raw garlic, and lemon. The beauty of crafting salads is that there are no rules. Throw together as many veggies as you can and drench them with olive oil, which will increase the absorption of their many nutrients, including carotenoids, which can boost brain processing speed. The key is to aim for one huge salad daily, and there is plenty of room for healthy variety. What's the deal with dairy? 75% of the global adult population is believed to be lactose intolerant, and Harvard School of Public Health has recently banned dairy from its healthy eating plate. So what gives? Milk protein is on par with white bread in terms of insulin stimulation, and from an evolutionary sense, this is likely as a means of helping a newborn pack on weight. But bovine milk proteins specifically metabolize into morphine-like compounds called caseomorphins, which seem to have an inflammatory effect on the gut. They've also been shown to interact with neurotransmitters and have been linked with headaches, delayed psychomotor development, autism, and type 1 diabetes. The direct effect that this has on the average brain has yet to be borne out in the literature, but there is one other line of research that is worth mentioning. Milk lowers a compound in the body called urate, Very high levels of urate can cause gout, but at normal levels, the chemical seems to be a powerful antioxidant for the brain, and particularly protective against Parkinson's disease. Both milk consumption and reduced urate levels have been linked with higher risk for developing Parkinson's disease. And studies are underway now to see if raising urate can slow Parkinson's progression. For these reasons, I don't recommend dairy other than butter and ghee, but if you aren't sensitive to it and choose to enjoy it occasionally, stick with full-fat varieties. Steer clear of fake gluten-free foods. Substituting gluten-containing foods with highly processed gluten-free doppelgangers, such as most gluten-free cookies and bread products, is assuredly not the way to go. These foods, often made with highly processed grain flours and refined sugar, can be profound blood sugar boosters, negating nearly if not all of the benefits of going gluten-free for the non-celiac population. In addition, they commonly contain easily oxidized polyunsaturated fats, which may contribute to free radical cascades in your arteries. Always stick with the foods that never had gluten in them to begin with, not industrially manipulated food-like approximations of the real thing. And what about alcohol? On the one hand, research has shown that moderate drinkers of alcohol, up to 2 glasses a day for men, 1 for women, tend to have better health. On the other hand, ethanol, which is what gives us the buzz, is a neurotoxin, and when looking specifically at brain health, the research is somewhat less peachy. A 30-year study found that even moderate alcohol drinkers who consumed 5 to 7 drinks per week had triple the risk of hippocampal shrinkage than abstainers. The psychological benefits of moderate alcohol consumption as a social lubricant and de-stressor are not trivial. In an ideal world, we would all have healthy stress coping mechanisms and drink minimally, having 1 to 2 drinks per week at most. But we also aren't living stress-free existences, frolicking through the woods and picking berries all day either. While I recommend abstaining from alcohol, if you choose to imbibe, here are some tips to make drinking as brain-healthy an experience as possible. Always ensure that you go to sleep sober. Alcohol markedly diminishes sleep quality and affects various hormones that are released during sleep, notably growth hormone. Follow the 1-for-1 rule. In between each drink, always consume a glass of water. Alcohol irritates the gut and makes it harder to rehydrate once the damage has been done. Sprinkle a little salt in that water. Alcohol is a diuretic, which can cause you to excrete electrolytes like sodium. Make sure to replace what is lost with a little salt. Stick to red wine, dry white wine, or spirits. Stick with the spirit of choice on the rocks or with soda water and a lime. Avoid sugary mixers like juice or soda at all costs. Drink on an empty stomach. This may be a more controversial tip, but drinking on an empty stomach may allow the liver to more efficiently process the alcohol without impeding digestive processes. Alcohol impairs LDL recycling and increases post-meal triglyceride or fat in the blood spikes. Have the drink before or after dinner, not during. Just exert caution because a drink can feel more potent on an empty stomach. Avoid gluten-containing beverages, which may be a 1-2 punch. Gluten increases gut permeability, which may compound the same effect from alcohol. Beer drinkers, I'm looking at you. The medicine cabinet. Ensuring healthful products in the bathroom is one means of dotting your I's and crossing your T's for long-term health and moment-to-moment wellness and performance. Here are a few changes that will make the most impact. Switch to an aluminum-free deodorant. Many deodorants contain aluminum, and excessive exposure to aluminum has been strongly linked with increased dementia risk. While research has yet to confirm causality, why take the chance? Alternative. Buy aluminum-free deodorant or make your own with coconut oil, a selective bactericide, and baking soda. Avoid frequent use of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, or NSAIDs, for pain relief. Regular use of NSAIDs like ibuprofen and naproxen have been linked recently to an increased risk of cardiac events. While these drugs are commonly used to treat minor aches and pains, they attack cell mitochondria, reducing their ability to produce energy and increasing the production of reactive oxygen species or free radicals. This was shown in heart cells, but these drugs can easily cross the blood-brain barrier. Alternative, try curcumin, an anti-inflammatory that has been found to reduce pain instead. Omega-3 EPA may help as well, as it is a potent anti-inflammatory. Avoid chronic use of acetaminophen. Acetaminophen, a common over-the-counter pain reliever, can diminish the body's supplies of glutathione, a master brain antioxidant. Alternative, curcumin or EPA. Stop using anticholinergic drugs, described in Chapter 8. These drugs are commonly used to treat allergy symptoms or as nighttime sleep aids and block the neurotransmitter acetylcholine, which is important for learning and memory. Alternative, consult with your physician if these medications are prescribed. Ditch acid blockers, especially proton pump inhibitors or PPIs. These drugs are often taken for acid reflux but can alter digestion, blocking the absorption of vital nutrients like B12, thereby increasing risk for cognitive dysfunction and dementia. Alternative, by reducing carbohydrate intake, you will likely reduce your symptoms of reflux as well as the need for medication. Avoid antibiotics, especially broad-spectrum varieties, unless necessary. Alternative, ask your doctor for a narrow-spectrum antibiotic. Days 1 to 14, clearing the cache. Now that you've cleaned out your kitchen and medicine cabinet and stocked up on brain-boosting foods, it's time to kick off the first 2 weeks of the Genius Plan. In the first week, the focus should be on eliminating the junk foods in your diet and turning instead to cognition-boosting and fat-burning foods. The foods we will remove first are those for which there is absolutely no human biological requirement. That means all processed foods and anything containing refined wheat and grains, seed and grain oils, and added sugar, including beverages, should be cut. By dumping these foods from our diet, we're skimming off the majority of calories consumed by most people in the Western world. These are calories that come from ultra-processed foods, the vilest offenders. These foods digest rapidly, sending blood sugar levels soaring and promote large spikes of insulin as a counterbalance, creating fatigue from the blood sugar roller coaster, and you should kick them all to the curb for good during week one. During this first week, we'll also begin an ultra-low-carb phase that will last through week one and week two. That means we will be eliminating all non-gluten-containing grains, legumes, and other sources of concentrated plant sugars, including tubers and sweet fruits. This is important to help reset the body's metabolism to its factory settings and convert a body that is used to burning carbohydrates for fuel to one that is fat-adapted and thus metabolically flexible. This break-in period will still include all the carbohydrates you need in the form of fibrous veggies and low-fructose fruits. In this ultra-low-carb phase, net carbohydrate intake, which is total carbohydrates minus dietary fiber, can range from 20 to 40 grams per day and should consist mainly of green, non-starchy vegetables. Initially, the fewer the carbs, the better. And don't worry, because in the third week, we begin to reintegrate carbohydrates to support our activity levels. Over the course of these 2 weeks, as your omega-3 to omega-6 ratio begins to align with what is biologically appropriate, you'll begin to experience greater mental stamina and focus and improved mood. By the end of week two, you should experience not only improved digestion from the increased vegetable fiber, but deeper sleep. Recent studies have shown that fiber consumption can increase sleep quality, particularly time spent in slow wave sleep. This is when growth hormone secretion is at its peak and the brain is cleaning itself of waste products accumulated during the day. Upon waking, you should feel more rested and experience greater mental edge. Avoiding the low-carb flu. Some people who are transitioning to a low-carb diet for the first time experience withdrawal symptoms similar to a drug addict quitting cold turkey. In the past, you might have self-medicated with carbs the moment blood sugar would drop, but this only serves to perpetuate the vicious cycle. Here, the strategic use of coconut or MCT oil may help to wean the brain off of glucose as your fat-burning machinery ramps up. During this initial low-carb phase in the first 2 weeks, I recommend 1 to 2 tablespoons of coconut or MCT oil per day. Start slow to avoid an upset stomach, which can occur with excessive MCT oil consumption. Also, lowering insulin, which will occur during this period, will cause your kidneys to excrete sodium, adding to the flu. Therefore, you may want to increase your salt intake. I detailed this overlooked fact in Chapter 6, In essence, during the first week of carbohydrate restriction, you may require up to an additional 2 grams of sodium, about a teaspoon of salt, per day to feel optimal, which can be reduced to 1 gram after the first week, half a teaspoon. During this phase, it's fine to include 1 to 2 cups of coffee per day, but any more than that should be curtailed. While coffee has many brain protective compounds and has been regarded quite favorably by recent research, it is nevertheless a stimulant to the central nervous system and can disrupt the natural balance between your sympathetic, fight or flight, and parasympathetic, rest and digest nervous systems. Also, try to avoid consuming any coffee after 2 p.m. so as not to interfere with sleep. Once a month, it may even be beneficial to switch to decaf for a week as a means to reset caffeine tolerance. You likely won't even notice the difference. Never underestimate the unconscious power of classical conditioning. Days 15 plus, strategically reintegrate carbohydrates. At this point, you've been on an ultra-low carbohydrate, high-fiber diet for 2 weeks. You've likely become metabolically adapted to burning fat for fuel. Here is when you can begin adding in higher-carb, lower-fat refeed meals a few days per week. See the custom carb pyramid in the PDF enhancement for details. Carbs and insulin are not evil. They are just overabundant and misused today. Strategically integrating them will serve two purposes: refilling muscles with stored glycogen, or sugar, as well as upregulating hormones that can become lowered by extended low-carb dieting, including leptin, the master metabolic regulator. How and when to do a carb refeed. Not everybody may need to reintegrate starches after 2 weeks. If you are overweight or insulin resistant, it may be more important to continue following an extremely carbohydrate restricted diet, 20 to 40 grams of net carbs per day, to drop the excess weight and regain metabolic resilience. Your goal should be to become insulin sensitive first, i.e. to reduce fasting insulin and glucose, before experimenting with higher carb refeeds. For a metabolically healthy, fat-adapted person, revisit Chapter 6 to see what being fat-adapted means and how it should feel, an occasional post-workout, higher-carb, low-fat meal may be beneficial. For example, with high-intensity exercise, post-workout carbs can actually help increase performance. Normally, cells require insulin to wrangle glucose transporters and bring them to the surface of cell membranes. But in the window following strength training, muscles act as a sponge for sugar, pulling glucose out of the blood without the need for insulin. These carbohydrates are less likely to be stored as fat, and re-entering fat-burning mode will be much hastier. The resultant increase in muscle mass will increase your overall metabolism and provide an additional buffer for excess calories. Ripe spotted bananas, berries, white or brown rice, and starchy vegetables and other low-fructose foods are excellent choices for a carb refeed, and anywhere between 75 and 100 grams of net carbs may be consumed to provide an anabolic stimulus without compromising fat adaptation. This is still dramatically less than the standard American carbohydrate intake of 300-plus grams of carbs per day. Individual experimentation may be warranted, but try to keep the consumption of these carbs close to the exercise session to help minimize fat storage. Depending on how advanced your training is, these refeeds can be integrated once to a few times per week. Note, the science on carb refeeds is far from settled, but it certainly suggests that occasional insulin spikes are not harmful and in fact are important for anabolic stimulus, testosterone and thyroid function, and lean mass preservation. That said, we always want to reduce the net insulin secreted and avoid the frequent hills and valleys that come from multiple carb loads over the course of a day. Custom carb pyramid. Given the wide variability of body types and genetics, use the rough guidelines below to experiment with and determine your optimal carbohydrate intake for metabolic flexibility. Carb intake, 3 tiers. Ultra-low ketogenic, days 1 to 14. Consume only 20 to 40 grams of carbohydrates per day. Stick with this tier for the first 10 to 14 days to deplete glycogen, stored sugar, and fat adapt the brain. If you're eating this way longer term for weight loss, add a one-time weekly high-carb refeed. This means you can indulge in higher starch foods, aim to keep the meal low-fat, to replenish muscle energy stores once a week. There's no magic number, but shoot for 100 to 150 grams of carbs with that meal. Lower carb, after 14 days. Consume 50 to 75 grams of carbohydrates per day. People who are looking for weight maintenance and perform light physical activity should stay at this level. Optional, carb cycling. In this tier, carb intake can be increased after vigorous training. Refer to Chapter 10 for anaerobic examples. Consume 75 to 150 grams of carbohydrates per day. This amount is still vastly lower carb than the average American diet. You can take advantage of the boost that you get from carbs by mixing low-carb days with higher-carb days to fuel workouts and muscle growth and to maintain muscle when you're losing body fat. On heavy workout days, start with 100 to 150 grams post-workout and have a lower fat intake that day. Glycogen-depleting workouts include multiple heavy sets of compound movements. This means 40 to 70 reps per muscle group, 2 to 3 muscle groups per workout, and compound movements including barbell squats, deadlifts, pull-ups, push-ups, bench presses, lunges, and dips. Dr. Paul and I recommend working with an experienced trainer if you're lifting for the first time. Protein intake. Start at 0.5 grams per pound of body weight. You can increase to 0.8 grams per pound if losing or gaining weight or if doing heavy weight training. Meal timing and frequency. Eat fewer carbs pre-workout and more post-workout. Try to concentrate carbs into a single sitting to avoid prolonged insulin spikes. Eat 2 to 4 meals per day. Fasting. Choose a feeding window, 8 hours for men, 10 for women as an example, and consider skipping breakfast. Experiment with different protocols to see what works best. There are a few options detailed in chapters 6 and 10. When fasting, be sure to drink lots of fluids and add electrolytes like salt. Example week. On a Sunday, for exercise, long hike or walk. For carbs, stick to 20 to 40 grams. It's a low-carb day. Eat 2 meals per day. Monday, resistance training. You can eat 150 grams of carbs. That would be a higher-carb day. And consume 3 meals. On Tuesday, you might do yoga or walking. Consume 20 to 40 grams of carbs. Again, a low-carb day. And you might eat 3 meals. On Wednesday, go for a bike ride. Consume 20 to 40 grams of carbs. Again, a lower-carb day. And you might eat 3 meals on that day. On Thursday, you might do heavy resistance training. On that day, you can consume 150 grams of carbs. That's a higher-carb day. And you might eat 3 meals. Friday, yoga. You might eat 20 to 40 grams of carbs, which would be a low-carb day, and eat 3 meals. On Saturday, you might go for sprints in the park. Eat 75 grams of carbs. That's a low to moderate carb day, and consume 2 meals. Final notes. As they say in the film industry, that's a wrap. I hope that in listening to Genius Foods, you've learned as much as I have in researching, writing, and living the ideas presented here. Collaborating with Dr. Paul was mostly pleasant as well. I kid, it was great. Remember, nutrition is a constantly evolving science, one where there are seldom black and white truths. In life, and especially on the internet, people tend to be religious about their nutrition beliefs. But science is meant to be dispassionate. A method of asking questions and seeking answers, even if those answers are not what you want to hear. I ask that you seek your own truth. Challenge your assumptions regularly. Be unafraid of authority. And question everything, even what you read in books, including this one. I'm humbled and honored that you chose to listen to Genius Foods, and I hope you'll consider recommending it to a friend or loved one, the ultimate form of praise. As fun and fascinating as it was for me to research and write Genius Foods, it was driven by my wish that my mom's health could be back the way it was. I wrote this book with the sole intent of helping others to feel better and suffer less. This way, none of it was in vain. Now, I implore you to take these findings and write your own health story. This is Max Lugavere. This production of Genius Foods was directed by Zane Birdwell and produced by John Marshall Media in New York City. Engineered by Cynthia Lee. Executive producer, Suzanne Mitchell. Text copyright 2018 by Max Lugavere. Production copyright 2018 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.